Acts chapter 15. That's where we're up to. Acts 15. So, this is our second year into Acts. We'll probably go into it next year. Acts 15. And we're up to verse 36. So, it was great having Monique up here last Sunday morning. So we continue this chapter. Verse 36, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." And Barnabas, verse 37, wanted to take John, so-called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. I love it. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So that's where we are this morning. You can see where we're heading today. You're looking forward to it. Okay, let's pray. God, we do love this book. And in one sense, we would like to be a people of one book, where this is the authoritative book in our lives. We will read other books. We will read widely and deeply. But at the beginning and the end of the day, we want to be a person of this book. So may this book, Lord, through you, by your Spirit, examine us this morning. We do not so much come to examine it, Lord, but we come to allow our lives to be examined by you. So we unzip our hearts. We come with open-palmed hands and say, "Thy will be done in your good name." Amen. Amen. So I have a question, friends. My question is, when was the last time you had one humongous or mighty row? Was it yesterday? Was it this morning? A show of hands, please. Confession time. Was it last week, last month, last year, 2 years ago, 10 years ago? I mean, when was the last time, friends, where you gave someone the evils with your eyes? You were red in the face. Your throat was dry. Your fists were clenched. You were stomping the room. The doors were slamming. The neighbors were wondering, and the cat was cowering in the corner. Are you getting the picture? When was the last time you had an almighty row? Do you know, just this last week, it was actually on Tuesday, I got an email from a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine in another country. And this person said that they had had such disagreements in the room. I mean, things got hot and heated, that this person decided to resign. Just walk out of the room. So I got this email saying to me, I've been an advisor, a mentor of this person for about 20 years. And this person said to me 1 hour ago, "I resigned." And largely it was because of a huge row in the room. In this last month, I have had three people, quite independent of each other, independent, no way connected, there's no way you could form an idea of who these people are, but they could be seated next to you, no, but I've had three people, quite independent, here and elsewhere, come to me and say, "I was in the midst of this row with someone, and I just felt like I wanted to pop them on the nose. I just wanted to punch them on the nose." Have you ever done that, by the way? in the middle of an argument, have you ever given someone a... I came close. Let me tell you a story. I was speaking at Spraydon Baptist in Christchurch, you know, 80 years ago, and so many decades ago, and I got halfway through my talk, and the minister of the church was seated in the front row, Murray Robertson, and Murray, halfway through my talk, suddenly spoke up for everybody in the building to hear. And he disputed what I had just said halfway through my talk. Now, up until that point in time, I was soaring like an eagle in my talk. I was doing so well. You know, I was into my stride. The confidence was pumping. I was amping. And then he decides to disagree with me. Front row, you know, disagree with me. And, of course, when he did that, I absolutely lost my confidence. You know, I just lost my stride. I waded through the rest of my talk and then sat down. We did the final song and then Mick the Machine and Mick the Monster went up to Murray and... we had a stand-up, and everybody started to get more and more distance, you know. They could see that Murray and I were having this stand-up row for everybody to see. And at one point in the argument, I took these two fingers, and I just leant into his little puny chest. And I leant into him. And I said, "Don't you dare do that again." And I put my two fingers into it. Yes, not a particularly good sight. Not a moment I was proud of. Something that I had to apologize for later on. And of course, Murray and I are great friends, but he now stays 2 meters away from me. Now, before you think that, wow, you know, these holy Joes that are up front and, if, you know, they could really get all fired up, I'm in good company. Because did you hear the text this morning? I mean, these two were having an almighty row. I mean, they were going for it. There was, my friends, blood on the floor. And you can read the English version and you can think, oh, they just had this kind of strong disagreement. Can we have a slide up, Matthew? I think next one. We will miss that one. The word in Greek, by the way, for sharp disagreement is... could everybody say that word in Greek, please, together? Thank you. You sounded really Pentecostal this morning. That word, sharp disagreement in Greek, is that word there. And it carries, look at this, it carries the idea of jabs and cuts. These two were going for each other, not physically, but figuratively, they were slicing and they were dicing. And there were razor blades with coming out of their mouths, and there was blood on the floor. This was a real row, okay? And then what does it say next? It says, after the row, what did they do? They sound so polite. It says in English, they parted away. They went their separate ways. In Greek, Greek is far more specific. Next slide. Next slide. Go back. Maybe it's not there. No, it's not there. Just kill it there. Thank you, Matthew. In Greek, when it says that they parted ways, do you know what that actually means? It means they swept each other aside. That's what it means. They swept each other aside. There was an almighty split. So, I come back to my original question. When was the last time you had an almighty row? Do you know, when was the last time where one of you got really aggressive, went into attack mode, and the other went defensive and distant mode? When was the last time that one went into blaming and the other went into withdrawing? Okay? When was the last time where there were dramatic exchanges and there was a real spat and you were spitting tacks? When was the last time get this one, people, that you end up fighting over fighting and you've lost sight of the original issue? Who can relate to that one? Yes. I mean, when was the last time you just had this almighty row? Tell the person next to you. Go to it. When was the last time? Okay. The big question is, and it comes about, the big question this morning is, so when we are in the middle of a row, what do we need to do? That's where I want to go this morning. But before we get there, let me ask a few who are you type questions this morning. How many people here are bottlers or spewers? In other words, in the middle of a row, you kind of bottle everything up inside of you and you seethe. Or are you a spewer like Ruby? And you go volcanic. Which one are you? Are you a bottler or a spewer? Or to put it another way, how many here, in the middle of a row, you are a conflict avoider? You just want to hide. You creep into the chair. You just want to pull the shutter down. Conflict avoider? Or how many here are conflict competitors? Bring it on. And you want to win. Or how many here are fighters in the sense that you love an argument? It's, you get a rush. The adrenaline starts to pump. Or are you a freezer and you turn to ice and you go cold hard inside? Where are you on those three? Tell the person next to you. Okay, final question. So it's pretty highly interactional, just to change this morning. So you know how a lot of people in my position, teachers, they get up and they give advice, and they kind of give advice like, well, this is how not to have an argument, and that's valid. And then there's a whole lot of other bits of advice that people give, like, in hindsight, And this is what you now need to do. You know, once the argument is all over. My one piece of advice, I'm cerebrally challenged. My one piece of advice this morning is in the area of what do you do when you're right in the middle of it? And all the brown stuff is hitting the fan and cats and dogs, you know, you're feeling unsafe. You're both doing a demolition job on each other. And you're right in the middle of it. What do we do then? Tell the person next to you. Ben, you've got a performance song, eh? Yeah. Okay, guys. Are you enjoying the topic today? No. Too close to home, huh? Yes. It is difficult, isn't it? I have one piece of advice from someone who still struggles with this. And I've had to learn this through hard yards. Okay? Goes like this. Just one. When in the middle of a conflict, when in the very heat of the battle, if we can ask but one question. So this is only one thing you have to take away this morning. We can remember this one thing. The one thing is this. If the person in front of us is blowing their stack, instead of inaction, doing nothing, instead of reaction, fighting back, to do counteraction. And what is the counteraction that I'm talking about? It is to but ask one question. So this is a word of wisdom to the wise. It is to ask but one question. And this is what I've had to learn to do with Ruby. Because Ruby's a fiery temperament type person. And I am too. And actually we're both strong individuals. You may not have picked that up. And, you know, for the first 15 years of our married life, we argued horrendously. Can you believe that? Oh, of course you can. Okay. Yes, well, moving on. What have you guys noticed? So in the first 15 years, I mean, there was like things being thrown. You know, 6 weeks into the marriage, she stormed out, yelled to the neighbors that she just made the biggest mistake of her life. I mean, honestly, it was tough going. We wondered whether we would survive. In all honesty. And then after 15 years, and this is not the thing I want to highlight, after 15 years, I said to Ruby, how about we stop trying to change one another? Now that was a win, wasn't it? And that was a really helpful thing to kind of get a good place to get to. How about we stop trying to change one another? But here's the second bit of wisdom, and it's the thing that I'm wanting to address this morning. It is this. That I'll put it on Ruby because it's easier. When Ruby was blowing her stack, it's a little one, but it's a goodie. But when she was blowing her stack and really getting quite volcanic, I had to learn to do a counteraction, to hit the pause button and ask but one question only. And the question was, well, you're obviously really upset. So what is it that you're trying to protect? I mean, obviously there's something at stake behind the smoke. Are you with me? So to ask that one question, what is it that actually you're trying to protect here, is so helpful. So my question this morning is, here's Barnabas and here's Paul, and they're going hammer and tongs at each other. So what was Paul trying to protect and what was Barnabas trying to protect? And if you read the text and texts around the text, what we see in the story about Barnabas and Paul is that Paul was definitely trying to protect something. Because you see, this guy called John Mark, he was a deserter. And you can pick that up in Acts chapter 13, verse 13, and look at it later. But you see, for Paul, I mean, they were doing hard yards. Their kind of mission was life and death. And we saw that last time I spoke. I mean, when they went to cities, they were reviled, they were hurt, people threw rocks at them. I mean, this was life and death stuff. And for Paul, he needed to know that everybody on the team had each other's backs. That they were looking out for each other. And yet we are told in Acts 13, verse 13, that this guy called John Mark, the guy that they're having an argument over, previously he deserted. He did a runner. In the Greek it says he actually got seduced away. So what was Paul trying to protect? He was trying to protect high standards. He was trying to say, hey, we've got a big, huge, universal task to do, and we've got to keep the bar high. We can't have runners here. So he was trying to protect something good. Yes? People can either yes? Thank you. He was trying to protect something good. What was Barnabas trying to protect? Well, who was John Mark to Barnabas? Colossians chapter 4, look it up later, verse 10. Do you know who John Mark was to Barnabas? A cousin. He was in the far now. So here we get Paul, he was trying to protect keeping the bar high. This was to be in this team, we had to have each other's backs. And Barnabas, he was trying to protect what? A family member. So you get two people at loggerheads, spitting tacks, going for it, raging and roaring, blood on the floor, and you ask the question, hey, hold on. What are each trying to protect here? And they're both trying to protect something good. Now, I have learned, people, that when you're in one almighty row and both of you are going for it, usually both are trying to protect something good. Am I right or am I right? Usually both are trying to protect something good. And the best bit of wisdom that I can give from this very small head of mine is the next time you have a row, the thing is, de-escalate. Because you know what we do? We escalate. Is that right? The secret is to de-escalate, to diffuse, to bring it down. And how do we do that? By asking the one question of each other. What is it that you're trying to? And maybe the other person doesn't know. So then what you do is you go, let's go on a journey of discovery. Let's imagine that there is a whiteboard here. And on the whiteboard is the thing that you are trying to protect. Ah, let's put that on the imaginary whiteboard. And what does that mean? The two people are now on the same side looking at the whiteboard. Do you like this? That is something to take into your future. I really believe it. And by the way, later on, I think Paul realized that Barnabas was more right than he was. Because you know what Barnabas did later? He took John Mark back on. But that's for another day. So that's all I wanted to share. Tell the person next to you what you thought of that rant and rave. Go to it. Standing. Just briefly, and then I'm going to ask you to sit. So we're going to have Ben and his team lead us in a song. No, they're going to perform a song, actually, just for us to meditate on. And then one of our Kerry students who has positioned himself, Tania, Caleb, and Lucy, but Hayden, he's with us this morning. He's going to lead us in communion. He does need some helpers to help serve, but he's going to pick up in communion. And then we're done for the morning, okay? But how many people here argue? Keep that hand up. How many people want to do it better? In other words, hey, look, we will all fight, but let's fight fairly. Yes? Yeah? Both hands up? Okay, let's pray, keeping both hands up. Jesus, with both hands up, we confess on the one hand that we fight. And I think that's okay. There is a place for conflict. But Lord, with the other hand up, we come with spirits that are wanting to fight fairly. And we want to be but people marked by relational excellence, where we help the other in the context of an argument. Help us to be these kind of people. So with both hands up, Lord, we reach out to you. May your grace, your wisdom, your spirit, your power, your goodness, your love, your way have its way in our difficult moments. And we ask this, Jesus, in your wonderful name. Hallelujah. And we all said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. See you.